Welcome to the official DevSlopes podcast, where we talk tech, code, jobs, freelancing, apps, startups, and more. This is the place to be if you want to upgrade your career, start that amazing app idea, learn to code, and take your skills to a whole new level. In this podcast, I interview interesting people in the world of tech, talking about their successes.
We had a couple million active users, though.
And their failures.
Really, really challenging for me at first.
I'm Mark Walbeck, your host, and let's talk tech.
Today's title is I Have an App Idea, What's Next? Okay. And this is inspired by all of the people who message me every single week. And keep in mind, we've got quite a few followers in our circle at DevSlopes. I mean, we've got 92,000 people on YouTube. We've got 350,000 on Facebook. We've got, what else do we have? We got 23,000 on Instagram. So I get a lot of questions and a lot of emails. My email keeps getting bigger, like 200 unopened emails every day that I try to get through. So we get a lot of questions. And one question I get a lot recurringly is, hey, Mark, I have an app idea. I don't know anything about it. What do I do now? And this is a really important question. I've been wanting to talk about it for a while. So you have an app idea. And to clarify, not just an app idea. It could be, you know, a web app. It could be a mobile app. It could be a business idea. These are the type of questions that I get. I have an app idea. What do I do next? Okay. And so let's talk about this for a minute. And what a lot of these people do is they say, okay, I'm thinking of a mobile app in a lot of cases, but sometimes it's a web app too, but I'm thinking of a mobile app. And these people typically, they don't know how to code. They don't know how to run a business or anything like that, but they have this idea. It's been on their mind for years and they're ready to do it. Okay, so let's talk about some of the common things that people do when they have an app idea. I'm going to talk about some of the things that you probably don't want to do, and then we'll talk about the things that are good to do. And so when you have an app idea or web idea, web app, or a software company idea, or any of those things, what typically people do when they're really serious is they start searching on Google for agencies. You know, I want to build an app. And the first results that come to the top of the list are always the big agencies that charge a lot of money to do things like, you know, Mutual Mobile or other companies like that. And hey, everyone who's just coming in here. So what they do is they go to these companies, and this is what happens. Those companies start at a minimum of usually $78,000 to $80,000 to build an app, but usually ends up in the $150,000 range up to even $300,000. And so it puts in your mind when you have an app idea, okay, I've got to come up with all this money. But here's the problem with these big agencies. Aside from the fact that they cost a lot of money, you have an app idea. Here's something I want everyone here to understand. Your app idea is garbage. It is. I don't care what app idea you have. Whoever you are in the world, your idea for an app is garbage. You need to understand that and know that. And I know that sounds harsh, but here's the reason why. Because an app idea is nothing. Users are something. An app is something. But an app idea is nothing. It's just the initial spark. And the reason why I say it's garbage is because every single first version of an app is garbage and it changes. Every now and then you get some magical unicorn that defies that logic, you know, like Evan Spiegel with Snapchat, some rich prep kid who went to the richest school in America, private school in America for high school, whose rich parents connected him with people with deep pockets, had an idea about messages that could disappear, which, by the way, someone else claims that he stole the idea from him. So, and it went up big, right? But Snapchat, actually, what's really interesting, Snapchat's becoming ancient history because they didn't listen to their users. And so, and what is an idea? An idea is really garbage. There is nothing great about an idea. And so when people come to me and they're like, Mark, I have this idea and I'd love for you to build it. We'll go 50-50 on it. I'll have the idea and you build the app. And I'm just like, dude, you are smoking crack. No way. Okay. Unless you've got money and deep pockets to fund this, your idea means nothing to me, and I'm not signing your NDA at all. Okay? An app idea means nothing. I don't care how smart you think, our app idea means nothing. It doesn't mean anything until you start building it and have users, and then it becomes something. And that's really important to understand. So going back, when you go to a big, huge agency who's going to charge you $150,000, they're charging you $150,000 for your garbage idea, and they don't care about your idea. They don't. They care about their money. Yeah, they'll say they'll make it a good experience to work with you hand in hand, but they won't, and there's budgets, and they have to scope out the entire project, and that is not the way to do it. That is, apps do not, no one's ever had success that way that I know of, okay? Building apps that reach the top charts. Okay, let me give you some context here. I am no Evan Spiegel billionaire, but I have been building apps since the App Store came out back in 2008 or whenever it was. I've built over 45 mobile apps and done a lot of crappy things and done some really good things. I've worked on apps that had a few million users. I've worked on apps that had way less users but generated way more money. And I've had a lot of failures in between. And I've just learned a lot of things about what an app is. And so the worst thing to do is go hire an agency because your app is garbage. Your app idea is garbage. It's not good. It's not a real thing until it's actually proven and working. And that's also for those of you who are app developers. Don't ever go build somebody's app idea and split the, you know, split it as 50-50 as a company. An idea is nothing. Nothing at all. If your business partner, all they have is an idea, they're worth mud. Okay. They're worth nothing. If they're gonna throw down money, they're worth something. If they're gonna code it themselves, they're worth something. If they have some unique thing, like where they've already got 10, you know, 100 people to buy this, and you've already got $50,000 in revenue before the app comes out, that's something. An idea is nothing. Don't waste your time. You're way more valuable than that as a developer. Okay, so option number one is going to a big, huge company, and they'll charge you $150,000 to $300,000. And that's actually the first option that most people go for, because when you search Google, that's the first thing that you find. Someone's asking, what do you think makes an app go mainstream? That's a really good question. I am going to talk about that. So absolutely, I'm going to talk about that. So that's option one. Option two, this is the next thing people do. They say, this is usually for people who are more on a budget, but basically, like, okay, that's a little expensive. I'm going to go hire a developer on Upwork. And so what they do is they go to Upwork.com and they'll start looking for developers. Maybe they'll start them, and maybe they have $10,000 or $15,000, $20,000, okay? They may have some cash, and so they'll hire somebody. And then this is what happens every single time. The person who's building the app quickly realize, or the person with the app idea quickly realizes they have no idea what they're doing. So when the developer's like, okay, well, what about this screen? What about this screen? Do we need logout? Do we need Apple sign-in? Do we need this? Do we need, you know, European Union privacy and all these other things? This app creator is like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Well, sure. And they start making things up on the fly, and the developer's working on the fly. And all of a sudden the price keeps going more and more and more because the developer's working on an hourly basis. And the developer doesn't care. He or she is getting paid by the hour. That's their job. And so this is a really big problem. And I have seen developers spend $40,000 and just end up with junk. Hey there, everyone who's just coming in here. Hey, what's up? Jin Hyup Park from Korea. So it's a big problem when you hire a developer. So I have an app idea. And right, the next logical thing to do is hire developers. No. So many people crash and burn. And I'm guilty of this to a degree. I had a consulting company, and you know, we made a few million dollars building apps for people. And let me tell you what, every single one of those apps crashed and burned, because it wasn't our job to, at the time, in retrospect, I changed things, but at our time, it wasn't our job to make their app successful. Our job was to do what they said, which is a really bad relationship. And so every single one of those apps that people paid for, they crashed and burned. $40,000 apps, $80,000 apps, they all crashed and burned because they're missing some fundamental things, which I'm going to talk about. They're missing the secret to success, okay? And someone's asking, what's the future of mobile applications? And I'll talk about that in a minute as well, too. What is the secret to success? So before I talked about the solution of how to get your app being successful, let's talk about what is required for an application or an idea to come to life. Okay, so when you have an app idea, what you're really saying is, I have this idea that I think people will like. So the first thing that you want to do before anything else is you want to try and validate the idea. This may start with research. This may start with you going and looking up other similar apps. Does anything like this exist out there? Okay, is there any other types of apps or products that exist like this? And maybe they're not. And maybe there are, or maybe there's some similarities. If there's nothing at all, you have to ask yourself, you know, why? Why is there no other apps out there like that? And there might be a reason. Maybe nobody does need the app idea, or maybe you need to rethink it. In any case, just do some research. Figure out what other people are doing. Does this even need to be built? And the next part of validation is asking yourself, can I make this useful on paper? You're like, what do you mean, Mark? Well, these days, an app is a business. You know, there's some apps, like if you're like, I want to build the next best digital to-do app, you know, that might, maybe it really is just a digital piece of software. But think about it this way. Can I solve my customer's need on paper with in real life? Is this something I could do? If I had to manually do this, would it be successful? Would people want it if I had to manually do this? Here's a perfectly good example. There was a guy who approached me when I had a consulting company to build an app. The app is out there today. It's called Jill's Office. It's actually a product in a company. But the idea was a lot of construction workers and contractors, they were out there in the field doing construction work, and they needed to do bids on projects and things like that. And they needed to be out there on an iPad doing it quickly and then sending it back to a secretary to process it and send invoices out for it. And it was a very digital product in the sense of, let's make the lives of contractors easier. We'll run a contractor small business using digital tools. But they started off doing it by hand. Like, they would go out there with the contractors and they would help them do their bids for them right there and get the information for them. Then they'd send it back and they do it all by hand. And the contractor's like, oh my gosh, this was amazing. This literally changed my business because you made my life so much easier. Now, of course, that doing it by hand is not scalable, but they proved it. They proved that it would work, okay? And so that's the second part is validation, is you do your research as one, and two is you try and prove it out. In most cases, you can. You can actually prove it out. You can, you could have a Facebook group. You could have something else that already exists without having to build it from scratch, where you can invite people to it and make their life easier and say, hey, is this working for me? Is this really what I want? And that's something I should have done in the beginning days of DevSlopes. DevSlopes started out as an app, interestingly enough. And if I would have actually thought about the customer's needs and journey, I would have soon learned that what my customers really wanted, they wanted the content, they wanted the education, they didn't care about bells and whistles or things like that. And I could have proved that all out through a Facebook group. I could have posted videos in a Facebook group and said, hey, is this what you want? And they'd be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And that could have fundamentally changed how we started out instead of spending, you know, $1 million on an app that nobody wanted to use. Okay. And we did do that, actually. Now, we did have users. We got up to 50,000 users and we got people using the app, but it was a painful process. And our first app idea changed drastically. Our first app idea was garbage, as they all are. Okay. And so we talked about validation. Now you have a validated idea. Now this is where you can start thinking about actually building your app. And what you want to do is we're going to talk about MVP, minimum viable product, but what you really, really want to do, okay, is you want to strip everything down to its core focus. And you can't do this without validation. You cannot do this without validation and seeing what people want. Because if you do move ahead with the development without the validation, you're going to spend thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars making mistakes, okay? So you've got some validation. Strip everything, every idea you have out. Every idea you could possibly think of. So in the case of DevSlopes, we had this app. We wanted offline downloads. We wanted people to earn rewards when they finished lessons. We wanted to like motivate people to code, right? And through like digital stuff, you know, getting coins and unlocking this, unlocking that, and making it fun experience. But it was a really robust app, and we built that all into version one. In retrospect, let's just talk about this DevSlopes app. What we should have done after we validated it was say, okay, the most important thing people want is they want to be able to watch videos and build projects and, let's say, download the source code. How do we deliver that? And immediately, I would have known mobile is out of the question. Mobile was not the right move. A desktop app or web app would have been much, much better, because that is what the customers needed. So all the bells and the whistles and the coins and all those things, throw that in the trash. Maybe they'll come around later, but in the beginning, all the users wanted for us was to watch the videos, complete projects, download the source code. Can't do that on a mobile app. That was a stupid choice. So strip your application all the way down to its core focus, and that's what you launch with. You don't care about anything else. Even you may not even need login, anything. We're talking about like MVP of MVPs, okay? So strip it all the way down, okay? Very, very, very important. That's how you're going to save money and time. Now, this is when you go and you actually start building the application. But this is really important. Don't do what I told you before. Don't go get the huge agency. Don't even hire the developers on Upwork. There's a problem. Here is your problem, okay? Your problem is you have an app idea, but you don't know anything about apps. You don't know anything about code. You don't know anything about development. How could you ever, ever think that you could manage a developer building your app if you don't know anything about app development? What happens when the app developer says, oh, this login screen, I'm sorry, I can't do this because, or this is gonna cost 3 times the amount because it's so complex. Well, actually login screens are complex, but you didn't know that because the developer is telling you whatever they tell you. You don't know anything about apps. Don't hire somebody if you don't know anything about apps. Keep in mind, an app is a business, okay? An app is a business. And speaking of that, so someone's asking, Citizen Lou is asking, what are your thoughts on templates and app builders? Well, that's the thing, right? Can you validate your business model with pre-built templates and app builders? Maybe you can. And if you can, that might be a good place to start, you know, spending $29 or $39 a month just to validate your idea. But keep in mind, those things can be highly inflexible and you can run into more problems. So it's a low investment, and maybe you can. It's worth trying out. It's worth trying to see if you can get an app builder. There's so many tools out there. I can't even think of all the names of all the tools, but you can just type an app builder on Google and you'll find them out there. But you can't scale a business on that or grow it. It's really great for validation though, if it meets your model. If it doesn't, don't mess with it. You know, you have to fiddle around, but it's definitely a low risk option. It's not going to be scalable though at all. But that may be a good place to start. Yeah, you can find something that meets your app idea. Like for instance, for DevSlopes, if we had found some app template for, let's say for an app builder template for watching videos and downloading source code and all those types of things in the beginning, maybe that would have been a good choice. We only spent a few $100. It might be worth considering, but it surely is not a long-term thing. And Ramsey says you can still spend a lot of time or too much on an app builder. And that is absolutely true. So going back though, you can't hire a developer because you don't know anything about development. You're going to get walked all over and you don't know the process. That is why it is so key for you or your co-founder to learn to code enough so you can build the stripped down version of your app. It is so key that you do this. So incredibly important. Now, if you're a person with an app idea and you do not want to do this at all, but you have enough money to hire a co-founder to build it out for you. I said hire. I didn't say have him do it for free, him or her do it for free. I said hire. If you have enough money to hire a technical co-founder because you don't want to do it at all, that's fine. You can work hand in hand. But somebody, one of the founding partners needs to code. You don't have to be an expert. I've seen entrepreneurs with zero skills learn to code enough. You're not getting a job. You're not doing anything crazy. You're learning to code enough to build a version of your app that you want. And guess what? When you have that vision in your mind, you will learn it so incredibly fast. So incredibly fast, okay? I would know. And by the way, for those of you who are listening, I help people do this all the time at DevSlopes Academy. Well, half of our students are entrepreneurs, and that's what they come into the academy for. They want the coaching so they can build their amazing app idea. And so here's the cool thing though. When you start building it yourself, you begin to understand the process intimately. And because you're kind of new as well, you don't want to add all kinds of crazy things onto the app. You just want to focus on the smallest, tiniest thing. And that's where you start. You start learning to code and you build the app as you're going along. This could be iPhone. This could be a web. This could also be Android as well, too. I said those in the wrong order, but it could be iPhone, Android, or web. Or again, it could be a series of tools. Keep in mind, when I say app, you know, we often have these app ideas, but remember, an app is a business. If there was something I could preach and that I'd want everyone to walk away from this discussion with, is that an app is a business. Stop treating it like some piece of software that, oh, I built this thing, now how do I monetize it? No. That's the wrong way to do it. An app is a business. Every single time, an app is a business. And usually the business model extends beyond iPhone and beyond Android. Think about this for a second. Is Netflix an app? No, actually, it's really not. Netflix is a business. It's a multi-billion dollar streaming business that delivers high-quality content. And their iPhone app and Android app and web apps and Apple TV apps are just mediums. They're means. Is Tinder an app? Well, it is, but it's also not. Tinder is a business that brings people together. It revolutionized dating and making connections. And could it have been done on a website? Sure, it could have been done in a lot of ways. It could have been probably done with a series of tools, Facebook, things like that. Like they could have hacked together some things to test it out. Tinder has a core business model. Even though their business is only on iPhone and Android, it's a core business model, right? So is it an app? It's a lot more than an app. Is Uber an app? Well, Uber is very useful because we have the iPhone and Android apps for it, but Uber is a marketplace for ride sharing, and there's a lot more that goes into it. They have to open up new areas. They have to make deals with cities. Like there's a whole billion-dollar structure under the hood, and the apps are simply the tools of delivery. So your app is a business, okay? That's the message of today. Your app is a business. So when you start coding it yourself, you quickly begin to realize that you don't want to build the things that aren't important, and you want to treat it like a business because you want to focus on those core features. So in DevSlopes, rather than when I built that very, very first app, hey, what's up, Jake Attard? When I built that very first app for DevSlopes with my team, you know, we built all the bells and whistles in. We didn't even know if people wanted to use those things. It was a stupid way to do it, completely stupid way to do it. In retrospect, starting over, I would have built a web app. Not iPhone, not Android. I would have built a web app. I would have made it mobile responsive, but I would have built a web app. And it would have had courses and content and the ability to download projects and source code. And that would have been it. And then users would have used it. And then I would have slowly improvised and improved it. So that's what you do as a founder. You learn to code enough so you can build that MVP. And here's something that's critical. As you're going along here, you need to immediately from day one, you need to incorporate analytics. One of the best ways to do this is with Firebase. Firebase is free to start, and they have so many analytics you can put in there. But here's what you want to know. You want to know how long users are in your app for. You want to know where they're falling off. You want to know if they're actually using the features that you're putting in there. You want to know how long their session length is. You want to know all of these things because it'll tell you what the app needs. So there's an app right now that I'm familiar with. It's called Earbuds, and the CEO is a really cool guy from the NFL, and he had this app idea where you know, what if, like, he was watching another pro player on the football field playing. He's like, what if and listening to music. The pro football player was listening to music, and he's like, I wish I knew what he was listening to. Wouldn't it be cool if all of the fans knew what he was listening to? And that started this company, that one app idea. And so he brought in lots of money and people and time and developers, and I helped with this project. And so all of this stuff, right, like started building this product. And they've got all these top NFL players and music artists and all kinds of people advertising the app. But you know what's crazy? Nobody's using it. They last for a session and then they leave. They're still continuing on that path. And I don't think it's, I personally, I don't think it's the great path. I think he'll figure it out. I think, you know, he's a real smart guy and the whole thing's going, but you know, they're not looking at the analytics, in my opinion. And if people are dropping out of your app, what do you do? How do you fix that? How do you get people to actually stay in the app? And so what they're doing is they're building new features and more features and more features. But that's the problem. And that's what so many developers make as a huge mistake, is they think new features are going to fix the old features. No. Remember how I said strip down your app MVP to the one core feature? You do not progress and you do not build new things until you have fixed the one thing. Okay. That one thing that keeps people in your app. When you've figured out how to do that, that's when you can move forward. And so like this app I was mentioning, they need to figure that out. They need to figure out why people aren't staying in. And I have my speculations. I think it's because nobody cares about what other people are listening to. You have your own genre of music you like to listen to. And so if I go listen to, Patrick Mahomes' playlist, I don't care. I don't want to listen to rap and then a country song in between and then more rap and other stuff. Like, I have no interest in that. Even if I'm heavily following the guy, I have no interest in that. I think they should do is move it to radio stations and have artists, or not artists, just people like me and you, create our own stations, and we can get followers and we play our own type of music, and you get a whole bunch of people who follow your type of music that you play and stuff. But in any case, they need to do some testing on those core features and fix it before they build on and do other things. Because what will happen is you'll invest, like we did at DevSlopes, you'll invest $1 million in something that people don't want to use. And we had to pay for that. We had to pay to figure that out. So if you're new, if you have an app idea and you're brand new, what I'm telling you is you should absolutely get analytics in from day one, and you figure out that core feature. You need users in your app using the feature. You do not build new things until you have figured out that one thing. You can replace that one thing, but don't build new things until you figure that out. And this also goes for those of you who are building apps for business. You know, we're talking about app ideas that's starting a new business, but I know a lot of entrepreneurs who already have a business and all their users are like, oh, I want this on mobile. Can you please do this on mobile? Which is a good thing. But even then, you have to validate your app. You have to build the core feature, because maybe everyone says they want it and then you build the thing that the people want and then nobody uses it. That happens all the time. And it's because people don't know what they actually need. They say what they want, but they don't know what they actually need. Okay, Steve Jobs was really good at figuring this out. He would build things that were, you know, unheard of. Like for instance, the magnet charger on the Mac, which I loved. And then, you know, he died and they got rid of it. Now we're all USB-C. But he hated this thing where you would trip on your laptop cable and it would fling your laptop off the counter. He hated it. And so he invented a solution, he got it from a coffee machine idea, but he invented it on the computer, magnetic charger. So when you trip, your computer doesn't go flying. He did a lot of good things like that, these tiny little things that were valuable and important. And you've got to figure out what those things are, and that you do that with analytics, who's using my app and things like that. So, okay, let's take a step back here. Let's see where we are, okay? So right now, where we are is... we have talked about, don't go to an agency and spend $150,000. Don't hire an app developer to build your app, because your app idea sucks, and also you have no idea what you're doing. You don't know how to manage developers and any of that stuff. So what you do is you build the app yourself, you strip it down to its core one feature or couple of features, the thing that your users need, and you do not move on until you have figured that out and you actually have users staying in your app. You need to email them, you need to survey them, you need to check the analytics, and when that's working, then we can consider monetization and other things like that, okay? Monetization is important to keep in mind from the get-go, but you need to hyper-focus on your users, keeping them in the application, okay? Super, super critical. So you keep them in the app, and then you can start building small features and testing them. The process repeats. You validate first, and then you build and you test, and then you change it until it's perfect. And that is what you need to do to have a successful application. It is so critical. Someone says, Leonard says, I'm kind of stuck on the fact that it all seems kind of overwhelming. Which language is good to begin with? Which framework? Android Studio, built-in language, Kotlin, a good beginning. So if you're going to build an app, remember, you're going to validate it first on paper if you can. And then using tools, maybe you can even use like Facebook group and other things to validate your idea. Now, if it's all validated and you actually have people liking it and using it, and you're like, okay, I need to get this into a mobile app, you really want to focus on your target market. And the one of the reasons, so one of the reasons why, it depends where you live in the world, but one of the reasons why so many companies in the United States, almost every company in the United States, builds an iOS app first, is because iOS users give more feedback and they spend more money. At the end of the day, they give more feedback and they spend more money. That's a proven thing. I'm not lying. That you can find this on the internet all over. If you can, start with an iPhone app, if that's your target demographic. Now, if you're in India, don't start with an iPhone app because everyone in India uses Android, right? So like I said, your target market is important. And then you can figure out your tooling and stuff. Now, I'll talk about tech here since we're on the subject. So if you build with native Kotlin, you're only going to be able to build one app, which may be fine. That may be what you need. The same thing with iPhone. If you build with native Swift and iOS, you're going to be able to build one app. And that's what you've learned. Now, what you could also do, if you know that your app needs to be on both platforms right from the beginning, or if you're unsure, you could build with React Native, which are web technologies, or you can build with Flutter and Dart. And both of those are fantastic. The Flutter and Dart experience is far superior to React in terms of developing and ease of use. I promise you, if you are brand new to coding, Flutter and Dart is the way to go. It's way easier to use. Now, keep in mind, React Native is very powerful. It's been out longer than Flutter and Dart, and React Native uses web technologies, uses React and HTML, CSS, JavaScript, things like that. Instagram is actually built with React Native. So you've got a lot of tooling and a lot of resources and support there. The development experience is not as pleasant. I can promise you, I've been doing this for a long time. It's not as pleasant, but those may be good paths for you to go. If you're unsure if your app should be native iOS or native Android, you should absolutely go with cross-platform, which would be React Native, or Flutter and Dart. Okay, you're gonna find more tutorials and help with React Native though. Even though Flutter and Dart is better, I would say if you are a developer already, use Flutter and Dart. If you're brand new to coding, learn React Native because there's gonna be more tutorials and resources out there for you. And that's how you build your app. I would absolutely from day one use Firebase in both. In any case, native or not, use Firebase. It's a backend system built or owned by Google. And it'll give you analytics. It'll give you authentication. It'll make your development life so much faster. I cannot stress this enough. You have to use Firebase if you're building an app for the very first time. It'll give you your database. It'll give you your push notifications. It'll give you your authentication, password reset, analytics. It'll give you everything. All right. Very, very full suite of tools. So, okay. So let's, I know this is a long discussion here. So we talked about don't go to an agency and spend $150,000. Don't hire a developer on Upwork for your app idea. Remember, your app idea is garbage and your developer doesn't care. They're just going to work by the hour. What you need to do is learn to code on your own. You're not getting a job. You don't have to become a data scientist or, get a computer science degree. You're just building what you need to do to build your app. Anybody can do this. I've helped tons of people do this. In fact, one of my students at DevSlopes, his name is Braden. He was 13 years old when he started. He built his very first apps. They all failed. And then he had two apps that just hit the top charts. One's called The Company. The other one, Solisquare, and some other ones that he made. I can't remember, but I did some math. He's made over $500,000 off of these apps. And he's like 16 now. And what he does is he listens to his users and he builds meaningful experiences. And so, and he didn't know how to code. I know other people who were entrepreneurs who didn't know how to code. They built their apps and they've went on to turn it into businesses. Now they've hired people to take over. So yeah, you do not need to know how to code in order to start learning how to code and build your first app. Yeah, you can learn it. And I help people do that all the time at DevSlopes Academy. So I promise you it's true. So yeah, so now we're talking about apps. So then you strip away, after you validated your app, you strip away all of the features and you just focus on the one core thing that the users need. And you do not put new things in that app until that first thing is figured out. Until your users are using that feature and they're staying in your app and it's almost time to monetize, until then, you do not add new features to your app. I promise you that is the dumbest thing you could ever do because it's going to cost you time and money. All right? And you haven't even figured out the first thing. It's going to make the whole experience more confusing. Once you've got people using that core feature, then you add new features and you test it just like you tested before, okay? Super, super important, all right? So you've tested it and then you can move on and forward. So that's where we are now. You're building your app, you're testing it, you're using Firebase, you're validating it, you're either choosing cross-platform or native, you're teaching yourself how to code. And this is the process that you continue to repeat over and over and over again. So that is the sum of this whole discussion. So I have an app idea. What's next? Well, what's next is you need to validate your idea, strip it down to its MVP, its core feature, start building it yourself, get analytics in from day one, test it and improve it until that core feature is being used. If you can get a free user to use your app the way that you want them to, when you make this app paid, it's all the better. It's all the better because they're now invested, and so they have to use it. But a free user, you know, free users like are junk, right? Free users get stuff for free and they don't use it. Like I would know. I've given out free everything under the sun, from apps to courses, and free users don't use your stuff. So if you can get your free users using your stuff, that's huge. That's a huge deal, okay? So you test it, you validate it, and then you can start thinking about monetization. How do we monetize this? And so for instance, I have an app idea that I've been working on with a partner just for fun, where like we wanna do video captions and like a whole bunch of other really cool things. And you know, this is something that I'm not even gonna sell on the App Store with the upfront price for monetization. We're actually gonna sell it through webinars. We're gonna have big webinars. We're gonna sell it to B2B for like, you know, $2,000 annual fee, sell it upfront. And then we give them access manually to the app, you know, with a backend service. And we're gonna do that because that's how we onboard people into the product. And so once you have an app that's actually useful, then you can start thinking of all kinds of monetization stuff, okay? And you can worry about that. But it's kind of pointless to worry about monetization until people are using your app. Remember, your first app idea is garbage. It really is. You know, you start figuring out over the fifth and sixth and seventh iteration at the end of the day. And there's probably other people who are doing what you're doing. So it may also be a marketing thing, like who has the best marketing arm? Who can bring in people the best? Who has the best flair and style and things like that? DevSlopes, you know, we get some haters here, but we also have a bunch of huge fans who love our teaching style. They love bold statements and seeing me do stupid things, and the way we talk, the way we act. People love us for a certain thing that we do, and it goes the same thing for other people that are out there too. People like following other people for whatever reasons. It'd be the same with your app. If there's other competitors, that's fine. So long as you have your unique niche or focus, and you keep making the app data driven. You look at the data every day. Don't guess anything. Look at your data every single day. So that's my best advice for building your app. I know this was kind of a long discussion, but that is my best advice for actually building an app from the ground up. Learn to code on your own. And of course, if you want to learn how to build your own apps and you want my support and help, like actual me looking, giving you video reviews of your code and your product and helping you actually grow your app and get users, you can join the DevSlopes Academy and we'll teach you how to do all those things. Anyway, feel free to reach out to me anytime. You can also email me, mark@devslopes.com. We can talk about apps. You can also apply for the DevSlopes Academy, where I help people one-on-one to build and launch their apps and they learn to code. So you can do that as well too. So thanks everyone for hanging out today. More videos coming just like this. This will also be uploaded to a podcast soon. So thanks everyone, and reach out anytime if you want to build that very first app.
Thank you so much for listening in today. If you like what you heard, go ahead and click that subscribe button. You'll get notified every time a new episode comes out, and it'll also help us to grow this channel. And if you'd like to learn how to code, you can always visit us at devslopes.com with our coaching and mentorship-based learning. See you next time.